All right, we'll say good morning. Good morning.
Let us begin. Begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning. Share to thank our Kamatora sponsor for the month of Iyar, an anonymous sponsorship with Akaras HaTov to Hashem for all of the blessings He has bestowed upon us. For Refuah Shlema for Devorah Leah Bas Chaya Rivka. May we all be zochet to witness the imminent coming of Mashiach Mihira B'Yameinu. Our week of learning sponsors, Ari and Haley Lichterman, in memory of Haley's mother, Linda Kotin, Zichron Levracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, she together with Kol Chole Yisrael will have a complete and enduring refuah. Rabosi, with that, let us begin. We have a lot to do today. Today's daf is Ayin Tes 79. And we are picking up. We did a great job yesterday, Baruch Hashem. We're going to continue our Daf Yomi winning streak, Emir Hashem, keeping up with the program. So we are up to Ayin Chesma Day 78b. We left off at the two dots. Hasocher as Hacham. Sorry, today's Daf is Ayin Ches. Yeah, okay. What did I say? Ayin Tes, right? We're good. All right, Baruch Hashem. Let's start again. Good morning, everybody. Say good. Today's daf is Ayin Ches 78, and we are picking up in Meretz Hashem. Is the right thing on here? No, I had changed it before I shut it down. Okay, that's what I was able to do. Okay, good. So today's daf is Ayin Ches 78. We are picking up in Meretz Hashem on Ayin Zayin Levei 77b at the two dots. At the two dots. Omer Mar. So we'll say, so remember again, we left off. Omer Mar. Meheichon Magbio. So from where do you go ahead and collect? So we'll say, so remember again, this was talking about a situation where I agreed to go ahead and sell land to Reuven. So remember again, the Braisa said that halacha l'maisa, if one of us goes ahead and reneges, whoever reneges has the lower hand. So if I renege on the sale, for example, Reuven has the ability to go ahead and collect from Idis, from my best property. So I'm remar meichon magbio mina Idis. So Gemara says kasagad aitcha me Idis din chasov. So we'll say, so again, so what does that mean? So now Reuven has a claim against me because I'm backing out of the sale. So fine, so Reuven has the ability to go ahead and collect from my Idis. So we'll say, which sounds like we look at my entire, you know, like property portfolio, and Reuven has the ability to collect a financial amount of land, or I should say amount of land corresponding to his financial claim. I have immersive lo yehe ela balchov. I don't understand. Why is he entitled to Idis? He should be no more powerful than any other creditor. And what's the halacha? Tnan balchov b'dinu beinonis. A balchov collects from beinonis, from middle grade property. Va'od ha arad diyohiv zuzi. Furthermore, again, why does Reuven have a claim against my property beyond any property which we were contracted to go ahead and buy and sell? In other words, it sounds like, so there's two issues over here. Number one, why does Reuven have a claim of idis? If he is just like a creditor, and a creditor generally has only a claim against Benonis, that's one. Number two, why does his claim extend beyond anything more than the actual land that he was planning to buy from me? You're right. When the Braisa spoke about Idis and Ziburis, it was talking about the Idis and Ziburis of the land that Reuven and I were agreeing to buy and sell. So in other words, so if I back out, then Reuven has the ability to get back his money or a corresponding amount of the best part of the property that we were talking about. If Reuven backs out, then I have the ability to either give him back his money or give him Ziburis of the property that we were talking about. All right, Rachabri Dravika Omar, I feel tell me Idis in the Chasov. Rachabri Dravika says, maybe not. Maybe it actually means that if I, the seller, back out of the sale, Reuven has a claim, he could either demand his money back or he could demand Idis property. And maybe Idis property actually means Idis of all of my properties. How could that be? Listen to this, this is fascinating. Stam man de zaben araba alfa zuz. Remember again, most of the way the Bryce had set up the case? This was a case of where I was selling Reuven a piece of land worth 1,000 zuz. Osai, that is a lot of money. That is a significant real estate purchase. Generally, in order for a person to go ahead and make a purchase like that, azuli mozel umazbin nechase v'havile kinizak. We'll say generally, in order to make a very large real estate purchase, you generally have to liquidate something else. So the Gemara is suggesting over here that Reuven probably had to sell off other smaller parcels of land to be able to go ahead and enter into this purchase. When I renege on him, essentially, I will say, I am damaging him. This is incredible. I'm damaging him. Damages now. Again, we'll say I'm a mazik. And what's alachot tnan hanizakin shamulahan beedis. When it comes to damages, interestingly enough, for both, I remember again, damages are paid with idis. So fascinating. So either possibility one is that he's getting idis from the property that we were contracted to buy, or possibility two is that no, in this case, because it is such a large real estate transaction, it's actually hezek. It's actually damages, and therefore halacha lemaisa, I actually owe him from idis of my general property portfolio. Incredible. Rav Shimon Leo Lomer, so as Rav Shimon Leo said as follows, Malamden osa shlo yachsur, ketzad, kosev lo ani ploni ben ploni. So as you remember again, it's actually very interesting. So all of this, oh, remember what was happening over here. I was going to sell Reuven a piece of property for 1,000 zuz. Reuven gave me a down payment of 200 zuz. Now, essentially, the way the price was set up was a down payment does not seal the deal. A down payment essentially says, okay, you've begun the process of paying, but the deal is not sealed. Therefore, technically speaking, either party could still back out of it with repercussions. So whoever backs out, you know, yodo ala tachtona, but you could still back out. Shimon Leo says there is a way to essentially make partial payment affect the deal in its entirety. How? That when Reuven gives me 200 zuz, essentially what we write is a document that says this 200 zuz cements the deal. The remaining 800 zuz is a loan, payable, whatever the payment terms are. And obviously what that does is that allows the 200 zuz to affect the entirety of the real estate transaction. Now says the Gemara, Taima, the cost of Lahachi. So the Gemara says, Hadalo cost of Lahachi, low. Lo kani. So we'll say, so it's interesting, apparently you need to write this. In other words, this is not, see what's interesting is, before you saw this, you would have thought, well, that's always the way that transactions work. You put down a down payment, and when you put down a down payment, that affects the totality of the transaction. The rest is a loan. Shulam says, no, you have to write that. In other words, that is not the default, right? You know, if you want that to be the case, you actually have to write a document that reflects that reality. And if you don't write it, then ultimately, again, then what's the down payment? The down payment is simply the beginning of the payment, but the transaction itself won't be finalized until the payment is complete. Gemara says, really? So is that true? But Tanya, this is an interesting case. We've actually seen this before. If I give a collateral to Reuven, right? And again, the collateral obviously again is to begin to cement the transaction. Imani choser, right? Ultimately, again, if I go ahead and renege on the transaction, Ervoni machalacha, I hereby am mochal the eravon. I'm mochal the down payment. Right? Vahalo omer, and the other party says, Imani choser becha, right? Reuven says, if I renege, echbol lecha ervoncha, I will not only return your down payment, but what? I'll double it. This came with another Rabbi Yossi. It says, okay, these are binding to Noam, and therefore again they work. Rabbi Yossi Atami, Damar Asmachta Kanyo. And Rabbi Yossi goes according to his reason, because Rabbi Yossi generally holds Asmachta Kanyo. Most remember, again, we've seen this before, when you make an exaggerated statement, is that considered to be halachically binding or not? Rabbi Yossi holds that it is. Rabbi Huda says, Dayo Shiikne Kineged Ervono. Rabbi Huda says, no, that's not the way it works. Rather, again, you simply acquire whatever it is, whatever the transaction is, you only acquire corresponding to the value of your down payment or your collateral. Rabbi Shigumil says, when is this so? Bizman Sha'amar lo ervoni yiko. When he says, my collateral should acquire my behalf. Ava machar lo soda be'elev zuz. But if I sell Reuven a field for 1,000 zuz, and Reuven pays me 500 zuz down payment. Then he pays me the rest. The rest is a loan. So what do you see from here? See from here is you don't have to write down this type of transaction. This is the default understanding of the way real estate transactions work. Rarely do people pay in full at the time of the sale. Generally, what happens is people pay some amount, right? And after the initial payment, the transaction itself is solidified and concretized. How do we look at the rest of the payment? It's a loan. I always say, you understand the two ways to look at the transaction? In other words, let's just play this out. I sell Reuven a field for $1,000. Reuven gives me 200 zuz, or 1,000 zuz. Reuven gives me 200 zuz. Now, the shaila is as follows. Do we say the sale's not finalized? We've begun the process. When is the sale finalized? When is it finalized? When I get my money. All of my money. But until I get all of my money, the field is mine. Or possibility two, what the Gemara is suggesting is no. When you get a down payment, the sale is finalized. The rest of the purchase price is a loan that Reuven owes to me. Fine. Now, the problem we're running into over here is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel made it sound like that only happens, that second part, that second scenario, where, again, sale is finalized and the rest is a loan, if you paper that, if you documentize that, right? If you go ahead and you write that into a shtar. Now the Gemara seems to indicate that no, that's the default. That's always the way real estate transactions work. You don't have to paper it. You don't even have to articulate. In other words, that's the way things work, just by default. So which one is it? The Gemara says, Lokasha, this is very interesting. Haduka ayil v'nafek azuzeh. Haduloka ayil v'nafek azuzeh. So we'll say, watch this. One case is talking about where after I sell Reuven in the field for 1,000 zuz, and he pays me 200 zuz, so Rabbi say, am I constantly running after Reuven for the money? So it's interesting. If I'm constantly running after Rabbi say, then that would indicate that what? I do not really have in mind that the transaction should be solidified until he pays me the money. The fact that I'm running after him, right? Or pay me, indicates that my kavana is that the sale is not finalized until you go and pay me all the money. Versus a stamp case where he gives me the down payment, and again, he's going to pay me, whatever the terms are, but I'm not running after him day after day. That would seem to indicate that halacha lemaisa, the down payment solidified the sale, and the rest is a loan to be paid over some amount of time. Fascinating. The Amar Rava, Rava said as follows, Hai man dezoben midi lechavrei, if someone sold something to his friend, veka ayel v'nafik azuzeh, and after he sold it to, so I sold something to Reuven. Reuven gave me either a partial down payment, but every day I'm running after Reuven for the money. Lo kani. So Rabbi said, this is fascinating. So essentially, you are suggesting over here that what does a down payment do? Everything depends on the reaction of the seller. So if after the down payment, the seller's like, all right, now, obviously, everybody wants their money, right? But the point is, the seller is not running after the buyer each and every day for the rest of the payment. That indicates that the down payment went ahead and solidified the sale, right? And the rest is a loan to be payable over some amount of time. Versus when the seller is running after the buyer each and every day, that indicates that the seller does not have in mind to solidify the sale until the money in its entirety is paid. Fascinating. That's it. We'll say, take a quick look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Hada ayel v'nafek azuzei, had tani diilo zakfa la b'milva choser b'da ayel mocher v'nafek u'mechazer acher halokeach litin ma'osav." So when the seller is running after the buyer to give him his money, the rest of his money, gali daiti dezuzi ansuhu limkar. We'll say that seems to indicate that the seller is showing the only reason I sold is because I'm strapped for cash, right? I need the money. I need the money. So again, because I need the cash, therefore again, the reason I'm selling is because I need cash. Therefore again, so long as you have not given me all of my cash, I'm not selling to you. So we'll say, so fascinating distinctions. The Gemara is suggesting over here like this, that halacha lemaisa, there, in general, we assume that when there's a down payment goes ahead and affects the transaction. The item is sold. The rest of the outstanding payment is viewed as a loan between buyer to seller. The exception to that rule, essentially, is when we see that after the down payment, the seller is constantly running after the buyer. In that case, that's indicative. We assume the narrative over here is seller needs the money. That's why he's selling. And therefore, the sale is not solidified until buyer goes ahead and pays in full. Fascinating. The Gemara goes back there. Ho Gavra. We'll say good story. Amar Rava. Haiman de Ose Mea Zuzi de Chavre. Rava says as follows. There was a guy who lent 100 Zuz to his friend. Listen to this. Upari Zuza Zuza. Let's say, listen to this. So imagine I lend Reuven $1,000. And what happens? For a couple of years, Reuven shows up at my door every day with $1. With $1, right? Every day he pays me $1. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Piron Havi. So it's fine. In other words, Reuven has satisfied his obligation to pay me back. Elo de isle taromes gabe. But I have the right to be bregis. Right? I have the right to have it. And I both say, by the way, Yachmiel Bokner, I'm talking about this. What does it mean when the Gemara says you have a right to be braggish? So first of all, I'll say, for some people, this is wonderful news, right? Some people have been walking through their whole life, right? Wanting to be braggish, right? And yet feeling bad. So apparently there is an entitlement to be braggish, right? So what does it mean? I'll say, when you see this lashon over here, what this means is, the act is wrong. The act is wrong. In other words, it's not right, but there is nothing illegal that's happened over here. So in other words, there's no claim, but it's important for the person to recognize that what they're doing is not really the right thing. So I lend $1,000 to Reuven, and Reuven shows up at my doorstop, at my door every day with a dollar. Again, that it's legal. It's obviously, this is assuming we did not stipulate another way of repayment. In other words, if I told him, you know, if we stipulated you owe me, $50 a month, right? Then that's something else. But assuming we didn't stipulate, he could show up at my door every day with a dollar. And technically speaking, it's legal. It's a legal form of repayment, but it's not right. It's not the right thing to do. Now, why not? Because they'll say, what's the problem? We don't know, what's the problem with getting paid a dollar a day? You see, as opposed to when you get a lump sum, you can put that aside. When you're getting a dollar a day, the pashtos, you're just spending that dollar, and therefore never really get the full measure of repayment. Okay. Next, Hel Gavra, the Zabali Chanon Lechavre, Upashle Chad Zuza, Vikaayo Vinofik Azuza. So also, this is very interesting. So this is a guy who sold a donkey to his friends, right? I sell a donkey to Reuven. So we'll say, so what happened? So this is fascinating. So let's say I sold him a donkey for $1,000. And what happened? He paid me $999. $999. Okay. Vinofek Azuza. And I'm running after Reuven for that dollar. Right? I want him to pay me that dollar. So we'll say, so what's that? So now the shaila is, what do we do? Because let's remember again, what did we say before? When seller runs after buyer for money, what does that indicate? That he is not solidified, the sale is not complete until the money is given from buyer to seller. The issue over here is $999 has been received, but yet I am still running after Reuven for a dollar. So what do we do with that? So the Gemara says, Yosef Ravashi de Kamai, but Ravashi was thinking about this, and he said, Ki I gav namai, kani o lo kani. So what's the halacha? Amrali Rav Mordechai Ravashi, Hachi Amra Avimi Me'agrun Yimishmei Derava, Zuza Kizuzi Dami V'lo Kani. The truth is, the amount of money is almost irrelevant. In other words, they both say, the halacha is that when you sell something to someone, and I sell something to Reuven, and Reuven gives me partial payment, and I'm running after Reuven for the rest of the payment, that is indicative that I do not consent for the sale to take effect until all the money has been paid. Whether it's $999 that's been paid and there's $1 outstanding, or, you know, he paid me $500 and there's $500 outstanding. If I'm running after money, that indicates that halacha l'maisa, the sale is not solidified until all the money is paid. Incredible. So the Gemara says, Amar le Rav Ach, Abri Rav Yosei de Ravashi, V'ham Rina Mishrei de Rava, Kani, Aye. But Rava said in such a case, where Reuven paid $999 and I'm running after a dollar, that really the sale is valid. Amar le Tetargim Shmaitecha, B'mocher Sadeo Mipnei Ra'asa. So I'll say, you know what, that case could be talking about a different situation. That's where I'm selling a Reuven a really inferior field. I'm not tricking anyone, but I'm selling a really inferior field. So I'll say, so in that case, of course, as soon as Reuven gives me the down payment, I go ahead and I transfer ownership. I'm eager for him to pay the rest of the money. Why? I do not want him to renege. interesting enough, that's a case where even though the seller is running after the buyer, that's not about not wanting to solidify the money until everything is paid. That's about, I'm so eager to get this done, and I don't want the purchaser to potentially renege on anything. Okay, incredible. So I just want to point out what you see over here, something very interesting. So first of all, what comes out from the Gemara is the default understanding of down payments is, as Reb Shimon Gamliel said, that Allah HaLamayisah, when you provide a down payment, we look at a down payment as fully affecting the sale. The sale is 100% valid, and what about the outstanding funds? That's a loan. That's now a debt owed from buyer to seller. That's how we normally look at transactions. Now, of course, I will say, two parties have a right to go ahead and frame a transaction however they want, but that seems to be, in general, the way that Chazal looked at down payments. That's number one. Where it gets complicated is where the seller is running after the buyer, hounding him for the rest of the money. So when that is happening on a constant basis, the way the Gemara seems to understand that is, what that means is, seller is only selling because he wants the money, and therefore, again, Allah, he does not want to go ahead and allow the sale to be totally chal until he receives the entirety of the money. So the default is down payment ultimately affects the sale in its entirety. The rest is a loan. But when you see the seller constantly running after the purchaser, that's indicative that the seller doesn't want it to be chal until all of the money is paid. Incredible. So let's go back there. So pshita by the servo say ayin chesem nalev 78a tap the dap pshita. So listen to this case. So as I said, I want to sell a piece of land. I have a piece of land that I want to sell. Right? I need 100 zuz. So I have a piece of land worth 100 zuz. And that's what I want to sell because I need the cash. So I say, but what happened? The problem is, velo ashkach, I can't find a buyer for my 100 zuz piece of land. So what do? Vizavin b'masayim. So I will say, instead, I sell a larger parcel. Now, to be clear, I didn't want to sell a larger parcel. I wanted to sell my small parcel for 100 zuz. I couldn't find a buyer for that. I now sell the larger parcel for 200 zuz. And what happens? V'ka'ayil v'nofek azuzay. And I will say, so now I sell to Reuven. Reuven pays, right, puts down a down payment of 100 zuz. And I'm running after Reuven for the rest of the money. What's the halacha? Lo kani. So I say, so obviously in that kind of case, it's clear that I don't want the transaction to be totally solidified until when? Till Reuven pays me the entire amount. That's why I'm running after him. Listen to this. But let's say, we'll say same case. I want to sell a parcel of land for 100 zuz, velo ashkach, and I can't find a buyer. Now listen to this. V'itarach hava mashkach. So I'll say, but if I would try a little bit harder, right, if I work a little bit harder, I would find a buyer. In other words, I can't readily find a buyer, but if I would work a little bit harder, I would be able to find a buyer. The Gemara says, velo tarach, but I did not go ahead and work hard. So in other words, I need to sell 100 zuz worth of property. I can't find a buyer. If I try a little bit harder, I would find a buyer, but I didn't try harder. Let's say, this is like a story of life, right? It's something I need to do. It's something I really need to do. It's not getting done. If I would try harder, it would get done. But I'm not trying harder. I must say, sometimes the most important thing in life is to be honest about why certain things are not happening. You know, so we all have these things in life that are just, it's not occurring. So like, I content myself to say, oh, it's just not happening. But why isn't it happening? The Gemara says, V'itarach hava mashkach. It's important to be honest. If I would try harder, I would recognize my goals. But what's my problems? What's my problem? The lotarach. I'm just not putting in the effort. So at least, if I'm honest with myself, why things aren't, certain things aren't happening, hopefully there's a greater possibility that in Meretz Hashem they will happen later on. So I say, so what happens? So therefore I'm not trying. So therefore I don't find the buyer for 100 zuz. There's a masayim. So I end up selling a piece of property for 200 zuz. So I say, so now what's the halacha? So v'ka'ayil v'nafek azuzi. And now, after I sell to Reuven for 200 zuz, he gives me a down payment of 100 zuz, and I'm running after him for the other 100 zuz. So what is that? My, kimocher shadeh b'mei ra, sadami, is that like someone ultimately, again, who's selling an inferior piece of land and is running after the buyer in order that he doesn't change his mind? Or is that like a case of someone just running after the remainder of the purchase price and therefore not wanting to solidify or concretize the sale until all of the money is realized? Teku. Gemara leaves it open. Incredible. Wow, most of what a powerful Gemara. Sachar sachamar v'esakader, shovar sochar le'namatas. Well, let's remember again. Next case. I hired a donkey driver. Or I hired, right, a wag. Kadar literally, again, is a potter. But as Rashi pointed out before, the potter means that a potter normally had his own wagon. So therefore, often you would go ahead and hire a potter in order to go ahead and transport something. I will say, now in this case over here, I hired these guys to do something, and what I hired them for was a davar oven. Davra Avad. Right? It was something that, again, if it doesn't get done, it's a loss. So what did the Mishnah say? So the Mishnah said that Halacha L'Maisa, I could hire new workers and bill them. So that I hire them, they bail. Right? They bail out. Right? So now I need someone to do the job. Right? I need someone. There's a chuppah today. Right? And I need them to deliver the wood or the flutes or whatever it is. It's a Davra Avad. So we'll say, so now what? So now Halacha L'Maisa, I could hire new workers, bill it to them. Right? Or I could trick them into coming back to work for me. So the Gemara says, Ad kama socha alein. So this is an interesting idea. So now we'll say, so obviously, when we say I can hire new workers, obviously, what does that assume? I'm hiring them at a higher rate. Because right, I need last minute reliable labor. Right? Last minute, which is definitely going to be at a premium. So we'll say, so now, how much more could I hire labor for and charge that to the workers who bailed on me? To which the Gemara says, Ad kidei scharan. And Rav Nachman, Ad kidei scharan. Rav Nachman says, literally, up until double the wage. Up until double the wage. And I will say, that cost has to be borne by the workers who bailed. Eisei Rav Nachman, Ad arba v'chamishim zuz. Aye, but the Mishnah says, up until 40 or 50 zuz. Amrali kitanya hi, shebasa chavila liyado. I will say, this is fascinating. When the Mishnah said, That halacha l'maisa, you could hire up to 40 or 50 zuz. That's a case of, I'll say, where the workers left their tools with me. Now, what is this? You know, I'll say, look at Rashi just a moment. Shabbos chavili yado im yesh biyado mishalahen harbe kederacha umnin hamakablan alein malacha beviyin klei umnus lebeis balabai. So, let's listen to this. Now, this works better in a case of like a craftsman. So I hire someone to do work, I hire a worker to do work. He brings his tools to my house. Now he's coming back and forth to my house. He's not taking his tools with him every single day. So let's say, so now one day he decides he's not coming to work. Right? He's not doing any work anymore. So what did the Mishnah say? If he's a davar ha'avad, what's the halacha? I could take his tools, I could sell his tools, and use those proceeds to go ahead and hire new workers to get the job done. Fascinating. So therefore the Mishnah says, up until 40 or 50 zuz, the Mishnah was... You just talk about that kind of case where I have the tools of the worker that I could just sell and use those proceeds to go ahead and hire new workers. All right, incredible. Well, say, let's go back to Mishnah. Great case. I rent a donkey. Well, say, so I am renting a donkey, socher, right? I'm renting a donkey from Reuven. Now what happens? Now we'll say, when I rent this donkey, so I'm renting it for a specific purpose. I'm taking it on mountain terrain, right? Now, so this is off-road donkey, right? I'm taking it on a mountain terrain, right? V'holicho babika, but instead I use it in the valley. Or, babika v'holicho bahar, or we'll say, I rented a valley donkey, and instead I take it on the mountain. Afilu zu esamilin v'zu esamilin. We'll say, even though, again, the trek is the same distance. In other words, it's both are 10 mil. So we'll say, what's that? Umesa, the donkey dies. Chayiv. I'm chayiv. Again, we'll see why that is in just a little bit. We'll say similarly again. So that's case one. Case one is, I rented the donkey for a particular purpose, for to use in a particular terrain, and I use it in a different terrain, and now the donkey dies. I, the renter, am responsible. I'm responsible. Case two. So it says, now I rented a donkey to go ahead and travel in the mountains, but I took it in the valley. Im hichlika potter. If the donkey slipped and died, right, or slipped and was injured, I am potter. I'm saying, now what's the logic behind that? Because the danger of slippage is much greater on the mountain than the valley. So because it got injured by slippage, so again, this would have been something in general that I would have been covered for under my mountain use clause, right? So because of that, if there's damage because of slippage in the valley, I'm potter. Vim huch machayv. Now, interestingly enough, if the donkey dies because of overheating, right, which makes sense, you know, the higher you go, right, then ultimately, again, I'm chayiv. Okay. Lo licha bebeka, v'holicha bahar. Now we'll say, now what happens if I rent it to use it in the valley, but I took it on the mountain? Im hichlika chayiv. So we'll say, so in this case, if it's injured or dies because of slippage, I'm going to be chayiv. Because again, we'll say, halacha l'maisa, the danger of slippage in the valley is not the same as the mountain. Vim hochma potter. But if it overheats, I'm potter. Why? Because we'll say, if it would have overheated in the valley, it certainly would have overheated on the mountain. Okay? The Gemara says, Im machmas hamayla chayiv. Now, if the animal dies as a result, ultimately, again, I will say, we're going to see what this means. really essentially, if it dies as a result of the ascent, right, then I'm going to be chayv, which makes sense, because obviously that's an extra burden on the animal that it wouldn't have had in valley use. Hasokar as ha-chamar v'riga. By the way, also, I want to point out, when you think about valley, right, I don't know, at least I think about valley as like going down. So when the Gemara uses it, it's much more almost like a plane, right, than like a valley where you're going down into something. So, imachma samaylechav, hasokar as ha-chamar v'riga. Listen to this. I rent a donkey and it goes blind. Oshinasis angaria, or for that matter, again, the animal was conscripted into the king's service. Again, we'll discuss the parameters of that case. Rashi says, Shinatlo lavoda samelech. So what's halacha? So what's saying, obviously, I rented the donkey. So I go back to Reuven and said, Reuven, donkey went blind. Right? It's not really helpful to me. Right? Or the donkey was conscripted by the king. What's halacha? Omer lo harisha chalafanecha. Reuven says, sorry, tough luck. Tough luck, you know, that's what do you want from me? I didn't make the animal blind, and I didn't cause the king to conscript it. That's your bad mazel. The Gemara says, Mesa o nishpara, chayv lahamid lo chamar. However, in general, if the animal dies, or the animal is injured, Reuven, the owner, is obligated to go ahead and provide me with a new animal. Okay, so let's go back there. Says the Gemara, Mishnah Reisha Delo Kamaflik, or Mishnah Sefer De Kamaflik. So it's interesting, in the opening statement of the Mishnah, right, so the Mishnah said that halacha l'maisa, if I rent a donkey to go ahead and use it in the mountain, and I use it in the valley, or vice versa, and something happens to the animal in the changed usage, I am chayiv. The Mishnah doesn't make any mention of what happened to the animal. In the seifa, interesting, in the second case of the Mishnah speaks about slippage or overheating. So why is it that in the first case of the Mishnah, there is no mention of the condition that led to the demise of the animal, and yet in the Sefer there is? So we'll say the question we're asking is, why does the Reisha not indicate how the animal died? To which the Gemara says, because the Reisha is actually talking about the following case. The Reisha is saying that even if the animal didn't slip, but the animal just died, we assume that the animal died because of the changed air quality, and that change is a deviation from the way the animal was supposed to be used. So if I rented an animal for Reuven to use in the mountain, and instead I take it into the valley, and it dies, and again, we assume the animal overheated, and the air quality of the valley is different than the air quality of the mountain. Or if I rented it for the valley, I took it to the mountain, you know, the air quality there. So what the Mishnah is introducing me to is that even if nothing happened to the animal that's necessarily observably unique to the mountain or to the valley, but the animal just suddenly died, we attribute the death of the animal to the deviation you made in your rental agreement. Something in the air quality, something, right, the Gemara says over here, Machmas Avir. The difference in the air quality between the mountain and the valley, that's what killed the animal. Rabbi Yosef Rechanina Amar Kigon Shemesa Machmas Uftsina. What's the case? The case of Osei ultimately, again, is where the animal died of exhaustion. Rashi says, "Over ayifos v'yegia mimasa holicha bahar yachalomer ayifos hamayla shalos l'rosha har hoyelo mitchila al kin ayifa la'achazman kishahalcha baderach ha'chalaka." So we assume that, again, in the case of a deviation, perhaps, again, the animal died as a result, ultimately, again, of additional exhaustion because you changed the manner of usage. Rabba amar kigon shekisha nachash. Rabbi says, what are we talking about, a case over here? It died of a snake bite. Rabbi was saying, what's the pshat? So watch this. I rented the animal to go ahead and be used in the mountain. I took it in the valley. What happened? Now, the animal died of a snake bite. So Rabbi says, so why is that my responsibility? Because the animal was where it wasn't supposed to be. Right? It got bitten by a snake in the valley. It should have never been in the valley. That's the point. I will say, this goes along the same motif of the previous Mishnah of Kala Mishana Yado Ala Tachtona. When you change the parameters of the agreement, so that's it. Once you create the change, you bear responsibility for anything that unfolds. So we'll say, this is Rabbi Meir. What does Rabbi Meir say? The Amar, here it is. Kala Mavir Al Das Shal Balabayis Nikra Gazlon. I will say, Amad Beis. This is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that in general, we'll say, when you rent something, right, when you enter into any type of usage agreement, and you change the parameters of usage from what was agreed upon, you are a gazlan. You're a thief. Now, we'll say, now what's the impact of being a thief? Take a look at the top, Rashi 78b, Ayin Chesem Adeiz. Rashi says, Nikra Gazlan, The Kamalei Birshusei Lishayiv Becho Onsel. Now, let's remember again, this is back to our Baba Kama days. When you steal something, you assume full responsibility for that object, even own sin. So essentially, it's fascinating. The Gemara is suggesting over here, so therefore, in this case, I rented the donkey from Reuven to God and used it on the mountain. I took it into the valley. That's an act of theft. That's a gazlan. Call a ma'avir al-dasha balabayis nikra gazlan. That at the end of the day, you go against the wishes of the balabayis. I rented it to use in the mountain. I take it in the valley. I'm a thief. And as a thief, I assume full and complete responsibility for the object, even for own sin. So now, something happens to it, and the valley just dies. Because again, I want to point out, under a normal rental agreement, that's the last line of the mission, a normal rental agreement, if I rent a donkey from Reuven, and I'm using it in a normal way, and the animal drops dead, right? Then I go to Reuven, and Reuven's like, I need a replacement animal. I go to Reuven, and I, the renter, could demand a replacement animal. Reuven's obligated to do that. Yet, I will say, in the first case of the Mishnah, when I changed the terms of the rental, I was supposed to use it on the mountain. I took the animal into the valley, and now the animal died. Rabbi Meir says, any time you change the agreement, kalamavri adasha balabayis, nikra gazlan. Ultimately, again, I am a thief. So the Gemara says, hey, Rabbi Meir, which Rabbi Meir are we talking about? Ilema Rabbi Meir did sava. So remember, we're talking about Rabbi Meir. Let's say, great, but remember this Baba Kama case. Rabbi Meir of the dying, right, with a Y, right? Dying wool. So this now I will say, what's that Rabbi Meir? This now. Hanosin semer letzava letzva. Letzva la adon tzva shachar. So I will say, I give wool to the dyer. And I give him explicit instructions, dye the wool red. And what happens? The dyer, right, dyer dyes it black. Or shachar letzva adon, or vice versa, it doesn't really matter what color. The point of here is the dyer did something different than what I asked of him. So what's the halacha? Rabbi Meir Omer no sin lo demit samra. Rabbi Meir says, okay, that's it. Rabbi Meir says, what Rabbi was saying? The dyer essentially acquired the wool. Right? Just has to give me back replacement wool. Or give me the value of the wool. That's it. So what I'm saying, Gemara is assuming over here, why does Rabbi Meir hold that way? Because since the dyer deviated from the instructions, he's essentially what? He's a gazlan. Because he's a gazlan, therefore again, he's fully responsible for the object. So therefore again, he's obligated to give me wool. I gave you wool, you messed it up, which you deviated, which means you essentially stole it from me. So now you owe me new wool. Rabbi Huda says, no, it depends. So now Rabbi Huda says like this, if the appreciation is more than the expense, then ultimately, again, I'm the owner of the wool, I'm obligated to go ahead and pay the dyer the expense. But ultimately, again, if the expense is greater than the appreciation, no sin less hashavach. I pay the appreciation. So we'll say, the Gemara is assuming, this is Rabbi Meir. So it is from Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that any time you change from the terms of the agreement, halacha l'maisa, you're a gazlan. Gemara says, whoa. This case is a little bit different. Why? Because the dyer did something. There was an action. So maybe the reason Rabbi Meir holds in this case that the dyer essentially acquires the wool and owes me the value of just brand new wool is because there was a maisa, because there was an action. The dyer did something. I wanted red wool. He dyed it the wrong color. There's a maisa. Maybe he acquires the wool because of the maisa. Elohar Remeir. So we'll say we need a different Remeir. What's Remeir? So which Remeir? The Magmas Purim. We'll say this is such a fascinating case. So maybe Rabbi Meir of Purim collection. We'll say Matanos Savionim, right? So now we collect money for Purim. This Sanya. The Gemara says as follows. Sanya. Magmas Purim Lepurim. We'll say this is actually a fascinating halacha. It's fascinating halacha. When you go out and you collect Matanos Savionim, that money has to go towards Matanas Levionim. Rashi's Magvas Parim Leporim, Ma'os Shagovin Hagabor Nibnei Ha'ir, Lechalik La'anim Lesudas Porim. So we'll say, so money ultimately again that is collected by the tzedakah collectors for Matanas Levionim has to go towards Matanas Levionim. So the Gemara says, Magvas Parim Leporim, Magvas Ha'ir La'os Ha'ir. If you collect tzedakah for a particular locale, that money has to remain for that locale. But ultimately, again, we're not medactic. So what that means is, let's say we collect $1,000 from Antanas Levionim. So then say, you know what? Really, the Aniyim only need 800, right? And let's put the rest in the general tzedakah fund. We don't do that. Rather, anything collected from Matanos Levonah for the Aniyim for Purim goes ultimately again for the Aniyim for Purim. Aval, but what can we do? What we can do is when we use all of the money from Matanos Levonah, and let's say, you know, we go in and we buy animals, right, to feed the Aniyim. We shecht the animals. Now, obviously, I will say whatever is left over, right, obviously not going to throw it out, but whatever is left over could go towards general tzedakah needs. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, magvas Purim l'Purim. So Rabbi Eliezer says, the collection of Purim goes for Purim. Ve'ein ha'ani rasha ilikach mehen ritzua l'sandalo, ela imkin hisna b'maymad ansheh ir div Rabbi Yaakov. Shem v'shum Rabbi Meir. So I will say, so listen to this. Furthermore, when the Ani goes ahead and gets the tzedakah, he gets the matanos levyonim, that money has to be used for Purim, and he can't use it even to buy himself a shoelace. So this is interesting. Halacha l'maisa, not only does the community have an obligation to use matanos levyonim money for matanos levyonim, but the recipient, the Ani, also has to use that money for Purim, doesn't have the right to go ahead and use it for other potential needs, unless, of course, it was particularly stipulated in front of the townspeople. The Rabbi Yaakov, Shalom Shalom Rabbi Meir. So we'll say, so the point over is, what do you see from here? What, now again, just pause for just a moment. What's the schaf? That Rabbi Meir is holding the halacha l'maisa, when money is collected for a particular purpose, it must remain for that purpose. So we'll say, sounds like what Rabbi Meir would be saying is, and what would happen? And if you were to deviate, what would that be? Essentially, like an act of theft. So we'll say, remember, we're just trying to find Rabbi Meir who says, Kalamavir aldas balabayas nikra gazlan. That's what we're looking for. So this sounds like this is it. But let's finish it up. Rav Shimon Gamliel meko. Rav Shimon Gamliel will say he's meko. Rav Shimon Gamliel is meko in general, and he says, in general, money collected for tzedakah can be repurposed for other tzedakah purposes other than the ones that it has been collected for. So we'll say, by the way, you should just know in general, this happens in an interesting discussion, halacha. When you do collect money for a particular purpose, and then let's say again, maybe Baruch Hashem, you raise more than what you need. Or for that matter, again, by the time you finish raising the money, the need has been cared for. So what's the halachas in terms of reappropriating tzedakah money? In general, we hold that tzedakah money could be diverted to other purposes. I don't mean like to buy yourself like a yacht, right? But I'm saying for other tzedakah purposes. For other tzedakah purposes, interestingly enough, Matanos Levyonim may be the exception to that. Again, an interesting discussion, but more on that a different time. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, 1 second. So now we've just found Rabbi Meir. To which the Gemara says, Dilma, Hasam Naimi Dai Dai Tidip Purim Udi Yoivlei, Dai Tidimi Diachmini Lo Yoivlei. So we'll say, no, maybe that's a different kind of case. Why? Because in this case of Matanos Levyonim, we'll say the people who are giving money are dafk giving for Matanos Levyonim. In other words, we're trying to find Rabbi Meir who makes a general statement. Rabbi Meir's general statement is, anytime you deviate from the terms of the Balabais, you are a gazlan. So the Gemara says, oh, look, this is it. You give money from Matanos Levyonim, you can't use that money for any other tzedakah purpose. Maybe that's different, because here, again, I will say, there is an explicitivity, right, that is happening over here that doesn't allow it to be repurposed for something else. To which the Gemara says, Allah, Rabbi Meir. Here we go. Rather, I'll say it's a different Rabbi Meir. Here it is. What's Rabbi Meir? This is Shimon Elazar Omer, Mishum Rabbi Meir. Hanosin dinar li'ani, likach lo chalok, lo yikach bo talis. I'll say, this is fascinating. Right? I go over to Reuven. Reuven is a pauper. And I say, Reuven, here is a dinar to buy a shirt. Reuven needs a shirt. Here's money to buy a shirt. What's the halacha? Reuven can't use that money to buy a coat. Or a cloak, right? A talis. Or talis lo yikach bo chalok. Or I give him money for a talis. He cannot use the money to buy a shirt. Why? Mipdesha ma'avir al daito shabalabais. Here it is. Why? Because I, the balabais, am giving him money for a particular purpose. He can't use it for a different purpose. And we'll say, bipashtos, what it sounds like is, and if he did, then what's the halacha? He's a gazlan. So we'll say, here it is. Maybe not. V'dovo shiny hasam. This is fascinating. I will say, maybe over here there's another concern. What's the other concern? The asul mikshadeh. So I will say, maybe here the concern is, the reason why Reuven can't use it for something else is because people are going to suspect me of not doing the right thing. How so? The Gemara says, the amri inshi amar planya zabina le levusha le planya anya velo zabin le. Because what's going to happen? People are going to say, oh, you know, we heard Silber say that he's buying Reuven a shirt. Right? And now Reuven's still wearing the same tattered shirt. Now, what they don't know is that I gave Reuven the money. I told him to buy a shirt, but Reuven instead went and bought the talis. Right? So I want to say, so the issue over here, interestingly enough, so therefore the Gemara Meir says, if I give money to an ani for something specific, he has to use it for that specific purpose. But maybe it's not because if he uses it for something else, he's called a gazlan. It's because, again, I will say, people shouldn't think ill of me that I'm promising to do something and not coming through on it. Okay, inami zabnina leglima velo zabnle. I imkein listni mipnei chashad. So if that's the case, then I will say that when you give ani money to use for something specific, he has to do it. Otherwise, again, because of chashad, because otherwise people will suspect me, the giver, of not coming through on my promise. My mipnei shamavir al daito shabal abayis, shmamina mishum dishanihu. So I will say, rather no, it must be that halacha lemaisa, when I give Reuven that money to use for a shirt, Reuven is not permitted to use it for something else. Why not? Because he is deviating from the terms that I set down. And what do you see from here? Kalamavir al das shal balabayis nikra gazlan. I will say, you see from here that, again, this is the sheet of Rabbi Meir, that whenever you go ahead and deviate from the terms of the agreement, one is called a gazlan. So I will say, so to kind of plug this back, so this is a very possible narrative for our Mishnah, let's say for our Mishnah. So therefore, I rent a donkey from Reuven to use in the mountain on the mountain, and I use it in the valley. And now something happens to the animal, so I am fully chayiv. Why? Rabbi Meir will say because I changed the terms of the agreement, and whenever you change the terms of the agreement, effectively you're a gazlan. Now we'll say, now what does it mean I'm a gazlan? It means I have complete responsibility over anything and everything that happens to the animal, complete gazlan. We'll say, I'll just mention, there's a beautiful, I think, also like hashkafic underpinning to this statement. Kalamavir adas balabayis nikra gazlan. Now we'll say, again, who's the ultimate balabayis? Who's the ultimate ribono shel olam? So we'll say, in general, when you're mavir adas ribono shel olam, when you go against that Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're called the gazlan, you're called the thief. What am I stealing? So we'll say, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives each of us incredible kochos, incredible abilities. Everything from the basic ability, everyday abilities that we have to function in this world. So on a basic level, when I go ahead and I have the power of sight, I have, Baruch Hashem, legs that work. So we'll say, when I use these things in the wrong way, right? Chashan, I use them in the wrong way to do wrong things, I'm a gazlan. I'm deviating from the terms of the agreement. The agreement is a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm giving you gifts. I'm giving them to you on the condition that you use them in a certain way. Right? To go ahead and to make a Kiddush Hashem, to go ahead and further your Ruchnius, to further our relationship. When I take those very God-given gifts and I use them in a way that I am not supposed to, Nikra Gazlan, that's theft. That's theft. So I was saying, sometimes we don't understand, like we think an Aveira is, okay, I'm going against the will of God. That's not just, I mean that, yes. But when I commit it, every single Aveira is an act of theft. Every single Aveira is an act of theft. Everything a single Aveira is misappropriating. Again, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me resources to use in a particular way, and now when I go and I use it in a different way, I'm stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I would say, just, it's something good to think about, because, you know, a lot of times when we commit Averas, the justification we have for committing Averas is, right, this is a, it's a victimless crime. It's a victimless crime, right? In other words, that, like, I'm doing something, no one else is getting, it's on me. In other words, I know that I'm impacting myself, right? But Lamaisa, it's a victimless crime. To which the Gemara says, That's not true. There is no such thing as a victimless karma. And at the end of the day, whenever I commit an Aveira, there is some level of theft that is happening against the Ribono Shel Olam. All right, let's go back there. Thinking about that for a little bit, I think just goes ahead and maybe sensitizes us to maybe before we take certain negative actions. Incredible Yisod. Let's go back there. Says the Gemara. You went ahead and I rented a donkey and it went blind. Rava Amar Avzekes. Rava says Avzekes. What's that? So apparently, I will say this is some type of worm issue in the hoofs of the animal. So the animal serves some type of foot issue. Okay. Hahuda Amarlu Avzekes B'milsa D'malka. Others say, "Avos say it's avzekes b'milk razam." You look at Rashi. Ra'isi ash sheochal shirayim sheotzer amelach. I saw. Actually, we'll see. You know what we'll do? We'll stop over for today. We're not going to rush. We'll stop over for today. We'll say we'll pick up. Great job, by the way. Excellent. Good. We had a lot to do on Amud Beis. Fantastic. An incredible Gemara. Musa Haska, Alocha Lamaisa. What a day. What a day. Shkach Avos say.